Get your Bible this morning, if you will, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew, chapter number 5. Someone asked me, said, "Preacher, do you have an old-fashioned day message?" I said, "I sure do." They said, "Oh, you do?" I said, "I sure do. It's called the Word of God."
Amen.
Amen. We just preach it like we've been preaching. Amen. In an old-fashioned way. The way I was raised. Amen. And that's the way I believe the right way. Wouldn't give you 2 cents for the new way. Amen.
Right.
Matter of fact, the Bible says, "Seek ye out the old paths and walk therein."
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate the good blessings of the Lord to be able to be in His house this morning. Matthew chapter 5, we're going through the Gospels. And I know we've already hit chapter 5 twice already, but we ain't done yet. Amen. This is full of rich stuff and it helps us. And so I want to borrow your mind this morning for just a few minutes. I know that lunch is out there waiting on us, and so I promise you it's not going anywhere. Amen. And so we just enjoy the blessings of the Lord and let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. And that's the old-fashioned way. They come to worship. Amen. They come to get in and not to get out. That's
Amen.
The way it used to be. Nowadays, folks are willing and wanting to get out quicker than they got in. I don't think it ought to be that way according to the Word of God. We ought to be more willing to stay and to hear and to be attentive, amen, to what God has to say for us. So let's ask God to speak to our heart this morning and bless the reading of His Word and bless our service we have today. Now, we will have service tonight. Plan to have a lunch, and then after lunch, we'll do whatever you want to do after that, pass out or try to go home and catch a nap or go home and run around the house and try to work off some of that you ate, whatever you want to do. We will have service tonight at 6 o'clock, and you pray for that service also. I didn't say this to anyone. I just had a thought a while ago. I was coming to church, and I told my wife, I had a crazy thought. She said, "What's that crazy thought?" I said, "Well, you know, during Jubilee, we have a meal. We have lunch on Saturday, and then we come back to church at 5:30, and we eat again." I said, "You know, we could do that today."
Huh.
So I guess we'll wait and see if there's any leftovers.
Amen.
If there's anything left, we might come back this evening again. So anyway, that's just a thought. Matthew chapter 5 this morning, we're looking at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Verse 13, the Bible says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Verse 14, the Bible says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to elaborate on two verses. Number one, I want to elaborate on verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Then I want to elaborate again a little on verse 16, and we'll do this as we go through the message. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege to be in your house this morning. I thank you for each and every soul that's here today. Thank you for this old-fashioned Sunday that we celebrate, Father, the day that we also celebrate Thanksgiving and have our Thanksgiving meal together and fellowship one with another. Thank you for that great privilege, Lord, the liberty that we have today to be able to do that. I thank you, Father, for your word. I pray now to illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay, and help me to say what's well-pleasing in your sight. I pray, Lord, that you open up the hearts and understanding of the hearers, Lord, today, that they would hear your word and heed your word. And Father, we'll all honor your word by believing your word. And may your will be accomplished and your will done in this service today. In Jesus' loving name, we pray and ask these things. Be with all those, Lord, that are sick and able to be with us today. Those may be traveling. I pray, Lord, you'd be with them. Protect them, Lord, as they're on the road. And many other reasons folks are not here today, Father. You know the reasons. And I pray, Father, that you'd be with them and encourage them, Father, in their walk with you. Bless now everything that's said and done. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to look in verse number 8 for just a few moments. I know we have already been through several of these passages or verses in this passage of Scripture, and we have dealt with the Beatitudes, if you will, the blessed are they. And we looked at the requirement, and then we looked at the reward for what God had for those that were obeying or those that were disciples of the Lord and those that were listening. He opened his mouth, Bible says, verse 2, and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn. And we talked about those that mourn and those that are meek. And we talked about that mourning, not being so much as mourning over your loss of material things or mourning over your situation, but that mourning was to look out and see the world in a lost condition and lost out in sin, and it break your heart and cause you to mourn and to cry and to weep bitterly for their souls. Amen. The Bible tells us and teaches us that we are to have the compassion for those that are lost. Amen. Having compassion, saving some, pulling them out of the fire. Amen. That's the children of God. That's our ministry, is to work toward being that example for others and having compassion for those that are lost and out in sin. But I want to dig a little deeper into that mourning. I'm going to show that to you here in just a few minutes. But there's another type of mourning that I believe that God has inspired us to or encouraged us to be mindful of. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But I want you to look with me. Blessed are the pure in heart in verse number 8. I'm going to deal with two words here. I'm going to deal with the pure, and I'm going to deal with the heart. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, this is the six of the seven, the foundational Beatitudes here in Matthew chapter number 5 to Matthew chapter 7. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus Christ is delivering to those followers of Him. It's not just the 12 disciples, but it's those who have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. And I want to say today, if we've decided to follow Jesus, we know Him as our Savior and called upon Him to be our Savior, He has a message for us. Amen. And that message here is in this passage of Scripture that we can draw from and learn from. Two of the more times in the Beatitudes we find the blessed are phrase, but it is leaning more to the persecution of those that have followed the requirement for following Christ. Amen. We're not going to deal with the persecution this morning. It's a prescription that follows after the conduct. Amen. It's what happens after you do what the Bible teaches us to do, and after you are pure in heart, and after you have mourned for the sinners and mourned for your sin, and after you have done these things, you hunger and thirst after righteousness, then you have those that are persecuted for doing such things. And we're not dealing with that this morning. I want to focus on verse number 8 and verse number 16. The Bible here teaches us that there is the requirement for the Beatitude, and then there's the reward for the Beatitude. First of all, the requirement. Notice with me, it is requirement in verse number 8 of purity. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, I'm telling you, in the day and hour that we're living in, there's not a whole lot of people that are living a life of purity. Somebody help me and say amen right there. Amen. Not a lot of people who name the name of Christ even are living a life of purity.
Amen.
Now, there is some stipulations in the Scripture, and we understand that God said in His Word that if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Amen. Everybody that truly comes to Christ and asks Him to be their Savior, repentance toward God, and faith in the Lord
Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus, God said that if they accept Jesus, he would in no wise, Jesus said, mine, my Father are one, and we would not cast you out.
Amen.
If you come in, amen, if you come to us for salvation, you'll receive that. But in receiving salvation, they are requirements. And one of those things is to be pure in heart, that your heart is purified. And I want to deal with that this morning, because we have so many people confused about what that means to have a pure heart. We have so many false denominations and false religions, and nowadays so many cults and modern movements that has destroyed the scripture and has changed what it means to be pure in heart.
Amen.
Amen. I want to define that this morning for you, and you pray for me as I try to do this. The basic meaning of the word translated pure is clean, pure, clear, in a natural sense, unsoiled and unalloyed. It means to cleanse from filth and impurity. In the moral sense, it means to be free from the defilement of sin, to purify. The word has reference in medical terminology to the catheter, a purgative, for the purpose of cleansing out, flushing out, making pure. No thought of perfectionism can be possessed or pressed into this word. To be pure means there's nothing in it. Amen. It's absolutely clean. It is pure. There's no impurities in it. It is like the silver that's been in the fire. The dross comes to the top and been scraped off of it. And it's a pure, clean heart. Amen. The word heart is a Greek word called cardia. If y'all didn't know that, this is a little English lesson for you. The Greek word cardia is used in the Beatitude, and it's not uncommon today, especially in regard to medical terminology about the heart. When getting a physical, people are often given what is called an EKG. I had one of those done a couple weeks back, an EKG. The letters stand for electrocardiogram, which is a test of how well the heart is working. In the English use of the Greek word, we have the word heart. Instead of cardia, we have the word heart. All right? So we change the K to a C, and then it is called cardia instead of cardia with a K. All right? I don't know if you know all that or not, but there it is. Cardiograph. We have cardiograms. A cardiogram speaks of a graph that is made by a cardiograph of the heart's movements. And when we speak of a cardiovascular disease, we're talking about a disease of the heart. Amen? I don't know how many people in this room today have that, but your pastor has that disease. It's cardiovascular disease. It's called CVD. It's stuff that's in your arteries. It ain't supposed to be in your arteries, but it's there. It restricts the blood flow. Amen? So I have to take an aspirin every day to keep my blood thin, and then if I scratch myself, I about bleed today. Amen. It's not quite that bad, but it feels like some days. But those are some things of the physical heart. All right. So here in this beatitude, the heart here, when it speaks of the pure heart, it's not talking about the physical heart, but it is talking about the spiritual heart. That means it is the center of man's being and the center of man's personality. Man's being and man's personality. Mankind, let me say that so we can clarify that. It covers men and women. It speaks of the inward man and not the outward man. Amen? It speaks of the spiritual condition of man, not the physical condition of man. Many of us have heart problems physically. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? I know some of you do. I'm not in this by myself. Physically, we have heart problems. Amen? Some maybe major, some maybe minor, but we still have that. That's a physical condition. But this passage of Scripture is not dealing with our physical heart. It is dealing with our spiritual hearts, and it focuses on the soul and not the body.
Yeah.
All right? Y'all hang with me. I promise you I'm going somewhere. All right? I know this is health, and this is English, and all kinds of other lessons this morning, but it'll help you. The heart is the main emphasis of God's message to mankind. The gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned about the heart. Amen. It's all about the heart. The Bible says if you believe in thy heart, God shall save you. Amen. So it's a heart condition. The emphasis is all upon Christ's message dealt with the heart. And here, again, it's dealing with the heart. And blessed are those blessed are the pure in heart. So the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day, they was not interested in the inwardness. They was interested in what was outward. And Jesus rebuked them for that. Amen?
Amen.
They ignored the inside, which is the spiritual heart, and they was more worried about what was on the outside. And I'm afraid that today we have many people that is looking on the outside and not concerned about what's on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
When they would look on the outside, and when we look on the outside, we would find that they were without spot. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, but on the inward, the Bible says they were raving wolves and wicked. In another sermon, Christ described these wicked religious leaders as graves whose tombstones were whitewashed, but inside the graves was a corruption of a dead body. Matthew chapter 23, here's the scripture. Matthew 23, verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Verse 28, the Bible says, "There even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." These men look nice on the outside, but their hearts was corrupt on the inside. Everybody with me? Now Jesus is instructing, and he's dealing with those disciples, the followers of him. And he says, "Blessed are those who are pure in their heart." And he looks at this other religious crowd and he says, "You're outwardly clean and you're outwardly pure, but inwardly you're wicked and you're full of vile and you're full of iniquity." And he rebukes them for that. So just understanding scripture, we know if you're blessed for being pure in heart and you're rebuked for not being pure in heart, they did not know him on a personal level. Amen? Those religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees, did not know Jesus Christ as Savior, as Messiah. They knew of him, but they didn't personally know him. Amen? They never believed upon him with all their heart. The emphasis on the heart tells us that we must first get the heart right if we expect to truly get anything else right. Amen. Purity of heart will ensure purity of life and purity of conduct. There's many people that make the statement, "Preacher, I can't live that life. I can't do like you do because I'm not made like you are. I can't do the things that you do. I can't do it myself." Understand that. Amen. Without the power and the grace of God, I'd be just as bad as everybody else, or worse. Amen. It is the grace of God, it is the Spirit of God that helps me to do what I've been called. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And it's because of a pure heart that your heart is clean on the inside. You don't desire the wickedness of the world. You don't desire the morality of the world and the ungodliness of the world. That's not what we desire as God's children. And so it makes our life easier to be right when we got our heart right and our heart is pure. If you want the outward to be genuine holy, then you must make sure that the inward is genuinely holy. Amen. The emphasis on the heart contradicts the head theology, which says education is the answer. You can be the most educated person in the world and still have a wicked heart. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can have all the education. Adam and Eve was highly educated. Amen. How do you know that? Well, those are the only two people on the earth. It's highly educated. Amen. They knew God. They walked with God. They talked with God. Highly educated. You know, to the end they failed because their heart failed them. It wasn't pure. The emphasis on the heart also contradicts the environmental theology or theory, which build Jack's better house and he'd be a better boy. Give them everything they want and that makes them better. That's not true. Amen. That's what our society is doing to our children. Give them what they want and it'll make them better. And that's not biblical. That's not truth. Amen. And the Bible, it destroys that when you put the emphasis on the the heart, this environmental theory, that theory is shot down by the fact that the great wickedness is done by folk who live in the finest of hells. Listen, they have all the things of this life, they still live in wickedness. Adam and Eve had the greatest place on earth to live. The finest of all places in earth, they live in the Garden of Eden. But yet they fail. Amen. They fail, they sinned, and we see that all over society in our world today. The problem in the world today is not the physical heart, but it is the spiritual heart. That's our main problem, is the spiritual heart. Governments have tried and looked to the programs to solve the world's problems, but they haven't solved them. Amen? And they never will solve the world's problems, because it's not a problem of the physical, it is a problem with the spiritual. Prophet Jeremiah described the unregenerate heart as well when he said it this way, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is wicked. Desperately wicked explains the why of so much of the conflict that's going on in our world. You know why they do what they do? Because your heart's wicked. Amen. I can't believe that they were dressed like that because their heart is wicked. I can't believe they go into the school and teach that is because their hearts are wicked. Amen. And they're corrupting our children. And it burdens and breaks my heart to the way they treat the children. I mean, it's bad enough that they treat each other that way, but leave the children alone. Mm-hmm. Amen. We notice that's a part of the requirement of the heart, and understanding what the heart is. Now, the display it has to display the heart. One who has a pure heart would do some predictable things. First of all, we find there's the pains that comes along with a pure heart. When we talk about pains, we're talking about the grieving of a pure heart over its sin. Whenever we do something that we know it's a sin, does it bother us? We know that it's sin, and we know that God's not pleased with us. And does it bother us? A pure heart, it would bother. It would cause you to grieve over your sin and over your actions. Amen. This takes us back to the second beatitude, which I mentioned already, but blessed are they that mourn. It's more than mourning over somebody else's sin, but it's mourning over my sin. I've said this before, and I'll say it again this morning. I've had people that ever said, preacher, I can't pray for myself, but I pray for everybody else. You need to stop right there, amen, and learn to pray for yourself, because if you can't pray for yourself, you're not doing anybody else any good. Amen. Because you may have something in your heart that you need to deal with, and you ain't dealt with it. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God does not hear my prayer. So we need to understand the heart. We need to be mournful with that. There's pains of the sins that we're concerned over those sins, not just of others and the effects it has on others, but I'm concerned with my sin and the effects it has on others. Amen. There's the pains of a pure heart. The pure heart will be condemned or concerned and weep over the evil thoughts, the evil desires, and mourn of their inward filth. Now, tend to help us. If we get a hold of that, amen. I've dealt with the mind, and I've preached on the mind, and the Bible has a lot to say about the mind. Amen. The heart is desperately wicked. And the mind, the Bible teaches us about the mind, it is a powerful thing. Who can know it? Amen. Who can know the mind? Only God can know the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ Jesus? The mind of Christ Jesus was to please the Father and have a pure heart and not desire ungodliness and unworthiness. There's many times that people do not, they're not concerned over their evil thoughts. You can have a thought. Stay with me now, don't lose me. I'm going to deal with the heart, and I'm dealing with the heart. But I want you to understand your thought life. You can have an evil thought. You can have an evil desire. It can come across your mind. You're human, amen? You still have the adamant nature. Those things happen. But what is a sin and inward filth is whenever we begin to ponder on that and to move on that and to want to acquire that, that's when sin moves. says it's lust. Amen. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth seed. So whenever we're talking about a pure heart, it's whenever we have an evil thought and it burdens me and it moves me to find my place of prayer and to find my place in the throne of God and say, oh God, forgive me such a fault. Cleanse my mind and purify my thoughts. And listen, how do I do that? I fill my mind with His Word. Amen. I have an evil thought. I have an ugly thought. Oh Lord, forgive me for that. And the first thing that comes to my mind is what Paul said. Amen. Think on these things that appear, these things that are right.
Amen.
Amen. That's how you cleanse your mind of those things. But we understand that people need to be concerned and need to weep over their evil thoughts and their evil desires and mourn for that inward filth. But they will have a very sensitivity and tender conscience about such things. Their own sins will bother them. There's many that say that they're saved and say that they love the Lord, but it doesn't matter what words come out of their mouth. I've heard people say they're Christians and cuss worse than sailors.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem with it. Amen. They're missing the blessings of God because they're not pure in heart. Their heart's wicked. And it doesn't concern me. My wife and I was in the grocery store yesterday, and this young man comes into her that she taught in high school, and he was all about his job and all about all the things of life and how he's got this cool truck and how big of a paycheck he's making. And every other word was filth. And I was so aggravated, I didn't even want to be around him. I was just, he needs to go. He needs to step away. Get back over in line number 12, and I was like, line number 1. It was all about the material things, about the money, about the big truck, about the big job, and everything that pleases his flesh. And the whole time I'm sitting there listening to him, and I could tell his heart was desperately wicked, and it had no effect on him. Amen? Are y'all with me? It had no effect on him. If we truly know Jesus Christ as our Savior, it will have an effect on us.
Amen.
The lost man, it doesn't bother him. But for the saved man, it ought to bother us. Amen? But there's something on the inside that lets me know I've done wrong. I've had a bad thought. I saw that. Lord, forgive me for seeing such a thing. And there's times you can't help it. It walks out in front of you. You can't help what you see. But it bothers. Amen. It bothers us. Some people get upset about the sins of other people, but it doesn't seem to bother them about their own sins. That's called hypocrisy, by the way. Being hypocrite. That's not the character of your heart. The purer the heart be, the more conscience it becomes of, and the more it grieves over and dwells in filth. A pure heart is one which makes conscience of foul thoughts, vile imaginations, evil desires. I'm conscious of that. You're conscious of that. If we have a pure heart. It is one that mourns over pride and discontent, mourns over unbelief and coldness of affection, and weeps in secret over unholiness. Pulled up to the stop sign yesterday. I had to run to the grocery store yesterday morning. My granddaughters, all three of them, wanted pancakes yesterday. Papa makes a buckwheat blueberry pancake that's out of this world. Don't believe it, just ask them three, they'll tell you. Amen. But I had to have another ingredient. I was missing something. I had to run to the store right quick. And I get to the stoplight, and there's one of these signs of a gentleman, young man, standing there holding it. And I've seen several. And every time, I don't know about all the rest of them, but this one fella, every time I see him, it breaks my heart. He looks so pitiful. His clothes are ragged and torn. His hands, when he's holding the sign, his hands are filthy. And he's got a sign that says, homeless, anything else. And he literally looks homeless. His hair's all nasty. That hasn't been washed in who knows how long. Probably until it rains again, it probably won't get washed. That bothers me. Amen. Had it not been for the grace of God, that could be me standing there. But oftentimes I'm guilty myself of thinking, well, I wonder how much money he's making because he looks like it. Listen, that's not us to discuss or to decide. Amen. God says you ought to be conscious of those things. Some things ought to bother you. You ought to be moved by some things. Whenever I see that it ought to move me, that God's been mighty good to me. Amen. God has blessed me beyond measure. If I can be a blessing to him, I need to be. Amen. The coldness of affection is what I want to say. There's some people that they don't care what situation somebody's in. It doesn't move them. It doesn't bother them. It ought to if our hearts are.
Yeah.
It ought to bother us. I met that young man recently at the drugstore. And I went into the drugstore and he was sitting out there on the side of the drugstore. It was a cold, nasty, wet morning. He was sitting out there and he was just shivering and he had a little raggedy coat. Shoes was about to fall off his feet and he looked rough and he said, "Sir, how you doing today?" I said, "Young man, I'm doing good." I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm a little cold and a little hungry, but I'm all right." He said, "You have a good day, sir." He never asked me for anything. I went back out the store and God just got all over me because I didn't say nothing to him. I said, "Son, you go to church anymore? Get me in church. Are you saved? You know Christ is your Savior." "No, sir, sure don't." And I witnessed to him right there in the drugstore parking lot. And I said, I pastored church in Lakeside. I said, "I'd love for you to come over there." I said, "There's a local church right here in town." I told him about a local pastor right there in town. I said, "If you'll go knock on this door, go visit his church. I promise you, they'll love on you. They'll help you get to Christ." I don't think he ever did that because he's still a baby. Amen. Y'all with me? Mourning over some of the things that we see, it should affect us. But then also, not just for things in his life, but it should affect me with things in my life. Is my life pure enough? Is my heart pure enough that I can reach somebody with the gospel? Am I concerned about that? Am I concerned enough about myself that I'm right with God and I can witness to somebody else to tell them about the grace of God and my light can shine before them as it's instructed to shine, as God said in his word, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Is your light shining enough? Do you have enough Savior about your life as a Christian that they can see God in you and see he's blessed you and that he's good to you and he will take care of them just as much as he's taking care of you? Can they see? We also find the pure in heart prays to be clean. David illustrated this. He illustrated it very well. He said in Psalms 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." David had sinned against God, sinned against Israel. And for over a year and a half, he tried to hide that sin. And he says in Psalms 32 that his bones began to dry up. His health began to fail him. It was a worrying him to death. It was not right. He was away from the fellowship of God. And Psalms 51 is his confession to God. He finally got right with God. He said, "Oh God, create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me." What was that right spirit? That right spirit was to have a pure heart and be moved by your sin. Psalmist said in Psalms 19 verse 12, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Secret faults. Oh, preacher, don't get into the secret faults. I'm just telling you, we're all made out of the same stuff. Amen. Ain't none of us in here better than anybody else. Y'all help me right there. We have secret faults. Amen. Everybody has secret faults. And the psalmist here, who's penning the words of God, had secret faults. What did he do about it? He says, "Cleanse thou me from my secret faults." In Psalms 19 and verse 14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let everything, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, let that be acceptable unto the Lord. If you've never prayed for inward cleansing and purity, listen now. If you've never prayed for that, you know nothing about this yet. Preacher, that's kind of hard. I'm telling you what the Bible says. If you've never prayed for that purity of heart, then you do not understand this yet. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'll get to that last part in just a minute. It's only 5 minutes after 12. The food ain't warm yet, I can promise you. There's the protest. The pure heart will protest evil. Sin will be opposed to the pure heart. You know how it is when you walk into somewhere and it's just evil all around you?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, "Oh no. Oh no.
I think I'm not staying here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there many times.
Yeah.
Amen. Even in the workplace, I walked in. I've told this story before. We had to go out to a luncheon and go out to a supper and take some people out. And they wanted me to go. And I said, well, where's this place going to be? They said, it's going to be out on the pier to the beach. We have a great time. There'll be a big crowd there. We're just going to eat and have a good time. When I walked through the door, stepped out on the pier, there was beer bottles on every table. There's a rock band in the corner. And I felt an evil presence when I stepped out the door.
Mm.
And I looked at my boss and turned around and said, no, I'm not doing this. What's wrong with you? I said, this is not me. I can't do this. If you want to have a good time, you need to let me walk back out that door because this is not for me.
Yeah.
And he allowed me to do that, and I went on to the Subway, got me a sandwich, went back to my room, and had a great time, me and the Lord. Away, y'all with me? There's a protest.
Yeah.
When you're in that wickedness and that evil, you don't want to be a part of it.
No.
Don't want to fellowship with that. Don't want to carouse with them. There's those that name the name of Christ, but yet they party with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they desire, I guess that's a word I can use, they desire to be around that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is there's no protest in the heart. So the heart's desperately wicked, and it's still that way, and it's not a pure heart. The pure heart will not be comfortable in places where sin abounds and where sinful people are dormant. Pure hearts do not frequent the dens of iniquity. Stay away from that. I don't even like to go to the grocery store when there's a bunch of people in there. You know why that is? Well, you think everybody in the grocery store is wicked? I didn't say that.
Mm-mm.
But most of them, you go to the grocery store, somebody's going to cuss.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to use foul language.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to be mouthing.
Yeah.
Or even the grocery store is going to play loud music.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stores I don't go to because I don't like their music.
Yeah.
I don't have to listen to them. I protest that because it goes into my ear gate, which goes into my mind, and it affects me. Mm-hmm. Amen? You don't believe that. Some you listen to as a teenager, sometimes they still pop up.
Yeah.
Amen? You can be walking around in the Walmart, and you can be walking around in Ollie's or wherever you're playing music, and all of a sudden when they're making songs, you come on and you're fully going to weep in a minute. That's the mind. That's powerful. You got to protest it. Amen? I'm moving on. How do we know how to develop a pure heart? Three things, real quickly. How can I develop a pure heart? Our nation doesn't have that. Filth is everywhere. The suppliers of filth are everywhere. They're on the TV, they're on the social media, they're on the billboard, they're everywhere. In the children's school books, they're everywhere. In the modern versions of scriptures, filth is everywhere. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any. How do I get a pure heart? How do I know how to? What's three important ways to develop a pure heart? Here it is. Number one is verse 7. The Word of God. Amen? Mm. The Word of God. It's a tremendous cleansing agent. Amen? We see that Christ made a statement in the upper room to his disciples in the night before his crucifixion. He says, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John chapter 15, verse number 3. Those who dwell in the word of God, who read and study the scriptures regularly, will know more about a pure heart than those who neglect the word. That's rather simple. Psalms 119, verse 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Yeah. Psalms 119, verse 11, kids like to quote this verse of scripture all the time. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Not just something to say, but it's something to do. Psalms 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So there's the scriptures, and then there's supplication. I've already said that to have a pure heart, it has to be a praying heart. We need to pray to God daily for our personal sanctification. As David said, create a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Psalm 51. In Psalms 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Prayer promotes purity. The word of God promotes purity. One more, I give it to you. Separation. Ooh, that's a big word, preacher. We don't like that word. Not many people like the idea of separation. You know what happens when you have a pure heart? You've got to separate yourself from family. You'll find yourself separate from your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You have to.
Yeah.
You mean I have to get away from, I didn't say you get away from your family. I'm telling you, you can't fellowship and go to the parties, and you can't participate in the things they participate in whenever their heart is wicked and desperately wicked and ungodly, and you're trying to live a pure life. You've got to separate. It's biblical. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. We have to be separate. Separate in our practices, separate in our places, our philosophy, our thoughts, and our passions. They must be separate if we intend to have a pure heart. Isaiah 11, 4. I'm glad you asked me. Because he says in verse number 8, let part. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Preacher, I know that if I'm saved, I'll see you. You're missing the point. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, if you see me, you see the Father. Right? And what he said?
Mm-hmm.
If you see me, you see the Father. Find my verse there. I don't think I wrote it down. It's in the book of John. Anyway. There it is, John 14:9. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So those with a pure heart who desire to have a pure heart, live godly, live holy. Christ has laid it out for us. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. People are looking at you. Don't hide your light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, which is having a pure heart, separated from wickedness, living godly, living holy, making a difference in your life, in your family's life, and those people that hang around you, those people that know you. You're making a difference. Amen? You're pure, and you pray to God every day to forgive you for those ungodly thoughts and those ungodly desires. Everybody with me on that? Good.
Yep.
Why does that matter? Because the latter part of that verse is that they shall see God. The disciples had already seen him because Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So why did he tell them that? The point is, it's not seeing him physically. Because when no man sees God, and we're not going to see God, we ain't seen Jesus Christ. But to the New Testament believer, how are we going to see God? I see God in creation. You know what the atheists don't see? The atheists don't see God in creation. They say there is no God. But those that have a pure heart, we see God in creation. I know there's a God. I can worship him because I know he fed that little bird right there. I know he's going to take care of me because he fed that little squirrel right there. Amen? I can see God in creation. I can also see God in my circumstances. Listen real close. Listen real close. There's many people that say that they love the Lord and know God is their Savior, but they fail to see God in anything. And there's many times it's never acknowledged that God had anything to do with it. But if the Scripture, if I understand this correctly, and I believe I do, if my heart is right and my life is right before God, and I know I'm not sinless, I don't believe in sinless perfection because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But every day of my life, I strive not to sin. And if I know that I'm pure before God and my heart is right, I can see God not only in creation, but I can see God in my circumstances. There's many times that people, they mourn and they bellyache and they complain about what's going on in their life. The Scripture tells the believer to rejoice, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You have many things that come at you. What does the Bible say about that? Rejoice. Count it a joy. God saw fit to put you in the furnace. Rejoice.
And I can see God working in my circumstance because my heart is pure. I'm not trying to do what I do to get a pat on the back. Amen. I'm not trying to do what I do for money, for somebody to think I'm some glamorous person. I do what I do because I love God. I'm trying to be obedient to His Word. And I can see Him moving and doing things in my life. And this is the direction He's leading me. And I can obviously see that because my heart's pure. And the Scripture teaches me that I can see God.
Yeah.
Is that Him? Preacher, I don't have no idea what direction my life's going. When's the last time you asked God to purify your heart? I'm not trying to be your. I'm not trying to be the judge here. I'm just asking. Preacher, I don't see God in some ways. When's the last time you got your heart? Old-fashioned Sunday. You know what we need on old-fashioned Sunday? Fall on the old-fashioned altar. So God. Create a clean heart in me. Help me, Father, to have a right spirit. Amen? Help me to have a right spirit. And I want to see you moving in my life. I want to be able to follow you. I want to be able to know that this is the way you're leading me. This is not something I'm doing on myself. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen you. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. He that doeth persistently evil hath not seen God. 3 John verse 11. It's not talking about physical sight. It's talking about spiritual sight. I've come to the conclusion here, and I'm going to stop. Do you have an invitation? There's a reward. The pure in heart will see God. That's the supremeness of the reward. It's not a crown. It's not a gold-plated trophy. But I can see God. People will stand in line for hours waiting to see some celebrity. They'll stand in line, used to stand in line for hours to see a president. I don't know if they do that now. Depends on if he's getting on a plane to depart. People stand in line for hours to see somebody. But they won't take a few minutes to spend time with God so they can see Him. I hope this has helped you. This passage of Scripture deals with the Beatitudes. Everybody wants to take the blessing, but nobody wants to take the condition, the requirement. You'll not see God. Your heart's not pure. You know, if your heart's not pure, you won't be in salt of the earth. You've lost your Savior. And if your heart's not pure, you will not be a light of the world. You'll be that candle that's under the bushel, and your light's in. I'm not trying to be down. I'm trying to be an encourager. Don't be that. Amen. Let your light so shine. We're commanded to let it shine. You're the salt of the earth. Purify your hearts. Stand before it. Get your Bibles and come before it and say, God, create me a clean heart. Help me. Help me. My mind is corrupt and I need help. Hear it? I mentioned this other Sunday, and I'll quit with this. I mentioned this other Sunday. I said that many people talk about Christ and how that he supposedly had children and he married and all this other corruptness that they said that Christ. The reason they say that is because their mind's corrupt and they want to believe that. But Jesus had the power not to see him. Amen? How did he have the power not to see him? Because he had a pure heart. That corruptness didn't entice him. The worldliness, the ungodliness, the sensual sins did not entice him. Boy, what a revival we could have if God's people purify their hearts and just want to see God.
Is the bathhouse closed? Nobody looking around. Quietness of this moment. Altar's certainly open if you want to come and do business with the Lord. Just come and talk to him. Ain't nobody going to ask you about your sin. You don't have to confess to us. Definitely don't have to confess to me. We come to do business with the Lord. Do you want to see God? You want to see him move in your life, move in your family, move in your children? You want to see God move in your church? Do you want to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world? You want God to use you? I know I should be. Do business with him. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the great privilege you've given us.